it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk hosts as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Happy Red Friday to you and yours. We got a lot to talk about in today's show. Kansas State, it feels like they are fighting for their bowl lives coming up later today against Arizona. We'll touch on that for a little bit. We have maybe the biggest fight in the last decade coming up tomorrow night in Las Vegas between Canelo Alvarez and Terrence Crawford. We'll talk about that for a little bit. But for the most part, we are going to be getting you ready for week two action between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. You certainly remember the last time that these two teams played each other. We don't have to get into it. Before we move forward in the show, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. And number three, I need you to remember that the open of the show is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place with great food, great prices. If you want somewhere to watch the game this weekend, if you want somewhere to watch the fight this weekend, there is not a better place in the city that I would tell you to go than with our friends over at The Other Place. Now, Rob, I might need your help a little bit on the open because I'm familiar with comic book characters, but I might mess something up. And if there's one thing I know, it's fans like yourself that love the comic books, love the movies, love these characters. You get all mad when a casual, when somebody who doesn't know ball tries to step into that lane. I usually try to give you guys a car or a relationship analogy. You know I love a good basketball analogy, but you know what? I am going to try to step outside my comfort zone. Now, text line, tell me if I'm wrong, but every popular superhero is a part of a team. Batman is in the Justice League. Spider-Man is in the Avengers. There is the Fantastic Four. All of the superheroes that I can think of have other superhero teammates. That sometimes the villain that you were going up against is so strong and so powerful, you need a little bit of help. Don't ever be too prideful to assume that sometimes the task is a little bit too daunting for you on an individual basis and that you are going to need the help of others. Well, I believe that Patrick Mahomes is a superhero. I believe that he is the best quarterback in the National Football League. I don't think last week's game is close if the Chiefs don't have Patrick Mahomes. I saw him will a team that couldn't run the ball, that didn't have their top two pass catching options, and give them a chance to win that game. The point of all of this is he needs other players to be superheroes too. Batman needs Superman. He needs Aquaman. He needs other people in the Justice League to do their part. Avengers, you need to team up with other Avengers to take on Thanos. I was thinking of this because yesterday we had Elliot Shore Parks on the show. And if you remember, he said something about the Chiefs' aura. I've moved past that. He said something that stood out to me about how many great players he believes the Chiefs have on their roster. Here's Elliot Shore Parks from yesterday.
The Chiefs have, in my opinion, five great players. They have Trent McDuffie, Chris Jones, George Karlaftis, Patrick Mahomes, and I think Travis Kelce Silver. Oh, Creed Humphrey's the fifth. Creed Humphrey, I would say, is the fifth great player on the roster. And that can be enough to keep them competitive. But if you look at the two teams, the Eagles have far and away the best roster. Like, they have so much more talent than the Chiefs do. I mean, Mahomes would probably kill to play for the Eagles as opposed to dealing with the players he has on the Kansas City roster. So I think there's still a big gap in terms of talent. Now, are there areas where the Chiefs could take advantage of the Eagles? I think the Eagles' interior offensive line right now, because they're dealing with an injury to Landon Dickerson, could be somewhat susceptible. I think Chris Jones, as you well know, is very capable of taking over a game. George Karloftis, also obviously a great player, and I think both of them on the line combined could give the Eagles some problems. But outside of that, no, I mean, the Chiefs receivers aren't that great. Their secondary is not that great. The Eagles have outstanding skill players. So I think the Chiefs really just have to hope that Steve Spagnuolo and Andy Reid have an outstanding game plan and that Patrick Mahomes can be Patrick Mahomes.
No one is going to feel bad for the Chiefs that they're a little bit banged up heading into this matchup. I'm not saying it's an excuse. It's a reason. The Chiefs are not at full strength. If you're not going to have your number one wide receiver due to suspension, we'll see what happens with Xavier Worthy. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a bit on whether or not I think he's going to play in Sunday's matchup. We can all come to the same conclusion that Kansas City is not operating at full capacity in this matchup. Well, if they're going to do this, then you're going to need to team up with other superheroes. You just heard him say, I think the Chiefs have five great players on their team. Let's remove Patrick Mahomes. There's no doubt in my mind about his ability that I think Pat will play well in this game. He needs some help from the other superstars. You need Chris Jones to not lose containment on a third and 14 play and to allow a 17-yard run that puts the game on ice. You're a superhero. We're talking about you being a Canton, Ohio kind of guy. We're talking about you being the best player in the league at your position. Talking about a guy who is going to be in the Chiefs' Ring of Honor. A guy who is going to be celebrated. One of the premier defensive players in the league. We need you to be a superhero. You were not one of those things last February when these two teams went up against one another. If anything, the lasting memory from Chris Jones from the Super Bowl is him falling over on the ground in disappointment because of a mistake that his team made. You can't think of too many other things or plays or memories that Chris Jones created in the Super Bowl a few months ago. Trent McDuffie, you need this defense to be a lot better in coverage than they were against the Los Angeles Chargers. And it starts with your best corner, your all-pro corner, a guy who is angling to be the highest paid player in the league at his position. You mentioned Creed Humphrey. Maybe you want to throw Trey Smith in this conversation. I lump both of them together. This offensive line needs to play better than they did the last time that they went up against this Philadelphia Eagles team. They couldn't run the ball successfully against Philadelphia back in February. They couldn't give Patrick Mahomes enough time to find his receivers. He was constantly on the run in that matchup. And Travis Kelce, Rob, this is the name that you have mentioned. If Xavier Worthy's not going to play in this, no Rashee Rice, who is somebody that you were looking to step up and make plays in this game? You're looking at your future Hall of Fame, maybe the greatest player ever at his position, Travis Kelce, to come out and play well in this game. Very simply put, you need your stars to be stars. Let's go back to the Super Bowl because I think this is really important. I think Philadelphia has four offensive players that you need to worry about. They have Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, and then in the passing game, they have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. If you want to throw Dallas Goedert into that conversation, go ahead. No disrespect to him, but I think those other four players are just more important, more vital to their success than Dallas Goedert is. Three of those four players scored a touchdown in the last Super Bowl. Philadelphia got superhero performances from their best players. Their best players in the biggest game stepped up and made plays, and that's a major reason on why they are the defending Super Bowl champions. You are asking the Kansas City Chiefs and their superstars. You're asking their right tackle, who's the second highest paid player on the team. You're asking your tight end to make plays. You're asking your corner that's asking to be paid like Derek Stingley, like Patrick Surtain II. You're asking your defensive tackle, who one day is going to be in Canton, Ohio, was one of the greatest players in the history of the National Football League. Those guys got to make plays. It's really that simple. And you didn't get enough of those plays made, whether it was last year in the Super Bowl or whether it was in week one. This is one of the very few weeks that we are going to talk about the Chiefs as if they are not the better of the two teams. They are also not the talented of the two teams. That is not to say the Chiefs cannot win this game. They absolutely can win this game. They have the better head coach and they got the better quarterback, and that gives you a fighting chance going up into any game that you are going into. You are one of the few teams that we believe has a true home field advantage that can make the difference in this one. It has not been very often that we have seen the Chiefs as a team play from a desperate place, back up against the wall, not wanting to fall to 0-2. So a lot of things, I think, are in Kansas City's favor. But to me, it starts with a very simple. You need your most important players. You need your highest paid players. You need your key players to play well. So we're talking about Patrick Mahomes eliminating mistakes. We're talking about Travis Kelce being in the center of what they want to do offensively. We're talking about your offensive line that you have spent a lot of money and a lot of investment in, controlling the line of scrimmage, giving you a run game, giving Patrick Mahomes chances and times to throw down the field. You're talking about your pass rush that you spent big time money on George Karloftis a few months ago, big time money on Chris Jones, controlling the line of scrimmage and getting after the other team's quarterback. Big players make big plays in big time games. And I know this is week two of the NFL season, but you got Tom Brady. Brady is here. NFL on Fox is here. First Things First is here. This is a really big game. This is a Super Bowl rematch. These are the perceived two best teams in their conference. This is a big game. This is a measuring stick game. You failed your first against the top team in your division. Let's hope you don't fail this test against who people perceive to be the best team in the National Football League. I want to ask you guys this question, just to the gauge of where you guys are at. 913-586-7965. The Chiefs are underdogs in this game for just the second time with Patrick Mahomes as a starter in Arrowhead. Vegas does not think the Chiefs are going to win. The public doesn't feel like the Chiefs are going to win this game. Why or how do you think the Chiefs win this game? I'll give you my answer next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Three-time Super Bowl champion, Patrick Mahomes. Join CDOT every Tuesday at 3:15, exclusively on 96.5 The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm asking you guys this question. This is the first time in a while I think you can say that the team that the Chiefs are playing is better than they are. I don't think that's a dispute at this point. You cannot argue that after the Super Bowl. I don't think you can argue that after week one. I don't think you can look at the roster of these two teams and come away with the conclusion that the Chiefs are better than the Eagles. Now, that doesn't mean they can't win the game, but just on paper, I think the Eagles have the advantage in this matchup. I'm asking you guys the question, how do you think the Chiefs win this game? How do you think the game plays itself out? What style are we talking about? To me, the answer is simple. If this game turns into a shootout or a track meet, I don't think the Kansas City has the offensive weapons to potentially win that matchup. Look at the running back advantage that Philadelphia has. Look at the wide receiver advantage. I think that Philadelphia has the better offensive line. If this game is going to be played in the high 20s or 30s, I just don't think that's a game that Kansas City is equipped to win. Not at this stage in the season. They can be at the end of the year. You get back Worthy, you get back Rice, you get back your main pieces. You implement a couple of things into the offense. Maybe you get something from Elijah Mitchell. Breshard Smith could be a different player at the end of the season. You get Jalen Royals back. Like, you can certainly convince me that the Chiefs offense is going to look worlds better than what they looked last Friday against the Los Angeles Chargers. You can't really convince me of that heading into this matchup. If the Chiefs are able to win this game, to me, they win this because they have a top five defense in the league. They win this because their defense is the best unit on the field. And I think that that's possible in this matchup. I don't think Philadelphia's defense is the same as it was last year. You don't have Brandon Graham. You have some weaknesses at corner. You are a different defense. Still a very talented defense, but not the same defense that you had last year. If you are looking at Chiefs offense, Eagles offense, same thing on defense, I think there's a chance that the Chiefs defense can play the well out of all four of those units. If that's the case, then that's a game that Kansas City wins. But if this game is going to be a 31-27 game, I just don't think that Kansas City has the horses right now to win that game, not against Philadelphia. There are some teams they could win that against. They just don't have the horses to keep up with that team. Not with the team that has the best running back in the National Football League and the best 1-2 at wide receiver. I just don't think they're equipped to win a shootout. They need to win a grinded out 24-17 game. They need to win the turnover battle if they want to win this. They got to get off the field on third down better than they did on Friday. I think that's the game script for a Chiefs win.
I'm not necessarily saying you're wrong, because me and you have disagreed all week on what's the bigger concern, offense or defense. You say the key to winning on Sunday is the Chiefs defense get back to a top five unit in the NFL. Are we sure they can get back to that being what that is? Like, if we were to look at the talent on the field, yes, they can. But the one game they played this year, it wasn't like, hey, they got a few bad breaks. Hey, a tip ball went the wrong direction, you know, short field. It wasn't like, hey, a couple bad mistakes put them in a bad spot. The Chiefs defense looked overmatched against the Chargers at times. And while I agree with you, this Eagles defense is not the same Eagles defense of last year, this Eagles offense is largely the same, and I would say it's better than the Chargers offense. Are you saying the only way for them to win is to get back that top five defensive unit? Can that defense get back to that? The names on the back of their jerseys say yes, but there's nothing I've seen in 2025 on the field that screams that's a top five unit in the sport.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think we're talking from a very limited sample size. The reason I think that that's possible is what you have at pass rush. You have Chris Jones on your team. You have George Karlaftis on your team. You have Charles Aminahu on that team. So it's really an argument of chicken or the egg. Are we talking about a defense that's going to get pressure and get after the other team's quarterback and cause disruption? Because the two things we haven't seen them do, I guess, in the last two games, again, talking about a very limited sample size, has just been, can you get home with your pass rush? I just refuse to believe that a month ago we were all patting the Chiefs on the back about how smart that George Karlaftis deal is, and Chris Jones is a first ballot Hall of Famer, and now we don't trust their defensive line and don't think they can get after the other team's quarterback and can win those matchups. To me, that's how they win. I know it's not a sexy thing to talk about. It's not the greatest sports talk radio topic in the world, but they got dominated on both sides of the line of scrimmage last year in the Super Bowl. I know all the focus is on Joe Tooney and the changes that you had at left tackle. They didn't get good pressure. They didn't win up front. So with no Landon Dickerson in this matchup, a lot more time for Charles Aminahu to get healthy and be a positive producer on this team. You got to win this game up front. You got to win it with pressure. You got to be willing to win a fist fight in the middle of the street. That's what I think the Chiefs defense needs to turn this into.
I agree with you on that's what this game needs to turn into if the Chiefs are going to win. I just worry, and you're 1,000% correct, it is limited sample size. Like, it is the smallest of sample sizes because it is exactly one football game. That's a very small sample size. But we've been wrong before. We've said things in the offseason like, watch out for X, and it goes the opposite direction we imagine. The prognosticators have been wrong before, and the one game of football I watched, again, I'm admitting, small sample size, that pass rush we applauded in June didn't exist. Against a middle-tier, maybe worse, offensive line. That secondary that we said, oh, they got dogs. I mean, they can be a real problem for people. They weren't organized. They were lost at times, again, in the one game. The linebacking core, which is the exact same linebacking core from last year. Nick Bolton got a new contract. Drew Twinkle's got a new contract a couple years ago. Leo Chenault is in line to get a new contract. They couldn't cover tight ends. People you've never heard of at tight end for the Chargers running wide, blanking open. So I get what you're saying. I think the names on the back of the jerseys, their Madden ratings, everything we said in June, July, and August about this defense can be true. But I'm not as confident that if it's a grinded out slugfest, the Chiefs are the superior team, because in the one game where I felt like, oh, the defense will hit the ground running. Boy, they did not hit the ground running, and this Eagles offense is better than that Charger offense. Better on the offensive line, better at quarterback, and better at weapon. So we agree on the game script. I just wonder if the game script goes that way, can the Chiefs shine in that sort of environment?
I think another thing with this game, and I think this goes in line with what you're talking about, is the Chiefs have to be much better at getting home than they were in week one against Justin Herbert. When Spags did dial up the pressure, it did not get home nearly enough, and the Chargers were able to have great success. So I don't know right now if they have a secondary in which you can kind of gamble and take chances, or if you gamble and take chances, and you better be successful and you better get there, because if you are at a mismatch defensively down the field, say what you want about Jalen Hurts. I think he has proven more times than not that he can take advantage of the holes in your secondary and have a really good game. They did not perform very well against Justin Herbert whenever they decided to blitz. We'll see if they can perform a little bit differently on Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles. Let me give you some of the receiving odds right now on FanDuel. For whatever reason, they don't have Hollywood Brown up. Is that because we're trying to see what's going to happen with Xavier Worthy, and therefore how you feel about Hollywood Brown is almost directly tied to, is Worthy going to be on the field or not? I can't really think of any other reason why we wouldn't have an over-under on Hollywood Brown. Do you think that's what it is Vegas is trying to figure out if Xavier Worthy is going to play or not?
Yes. There's absolutely no other logical reason as to why they wouldn't be listing that. I think Xavier Worthy's status affects Hollywood Brown's numbers, because if Xavier Worthy plays, I think the over-under in receptions, targets, everything changes for Hollywood Brown. I also don't think Xavier Worthy is playing. I know we can talk about that later, but I do think that's why FanDuel is at least hesitant to put that number up, because you could get pounded if you're wrong about Worthy's availability.
So let me read to you guys the over-unders right now, the numbers that they have currently for totals for the Chiefs. They have Travis Kelce. They have him at 42.5. They have Juju Smith-Schuster on 33.5. They have Tyquan Thornton on 20.5. And then if you go to the running backs, Isaiah Pacheco, Kareem Hunt, both under 10. Isaiah Pacheco is at 8.5 receiving yards. Kareem Hunt is at 9.5 receiving yards. Again, Hollywood Brown is not available, at least not on FanDuel. Rob, if I gave you a free $25 bonus bet and I tell you you had to take it on one player's over on the Chiefs from a receiving standpoint, I'll get you the rushing totals here coming up in a bit. I'm assuming they are not gaudy numbers when it comes to the Chiefs running the football. You got to take one Chiefs player to hit their over. Who would you take?
I've been saying it all week. Travis Kelce, 42.5? 42.5 for Travis Kelce. We have talked all week. We've done different topics about it. We've had different angles, different thoughts. Hey, how are the Chiefs offense going to adapt to no Xavier Worthy and no Rashee Rice? And I have been screaming from the mountaintops. It falls on one person. It falls on Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce spent an entire summer doing two things. One, getting engaged to the most famous person on earth. Two, telling everyone that would listen that the previous season, he didn't like the way he played. He didn't like his performance. He didn't feel like he was as locked in as he should be. He didn't come into the season with the same, you know, mental and physical, you know, makeup that he usually does. And he was going to fix that. He was going to get back to old Travis. It was everything on his podcast, everywhere, was Travis is going to be Travis again. Oh, man. We have people on text lines saying he'd be a 1,000-yard guy again. If his over-under is 42.5, if he's going to be the guy he talked about all offseason, he smashes that number. He breaks through with absolutely no problem, because I've seen him, even as the singular threat against other teams with the Chiefs, break that number no problem. Last postseason against the Texans, he was great. He was basically one of the only threats on the field. So Travis Kelce, free bet over 42.5, that is what I'll play. And I'll go a step further. If he's under 42.5, I don't know a game script where the Chiefs win, because Hollywood Brown ain't getting 16 targets again. Juju Smith-Schuster ain't getting the fountain of youth to get great again. It falls on 87, so free bet over 42.5 for Travis Kelce.
I'm going to give this commentary with the basis that they are not going to have Xavier Worthy. That obviously can change things between now and then. I just want to give you the caveat of where my take is coming from. I think they pretty clearly kind of designated Tyquan Thornton as their down-the-field option with all of the changes. I mean, they threw three deep balls to him, and they connected on one of them last week. If you're going to give me the $25 bonus bet, I'm taking on Tyquan Thornton over 20 and a half yards. I'm with you. I don't think that Hollywood Brown is going to be a guy that gets 16 targets in this game. I do think they're going to divvy it up a lot better than they did. You guys have heard me this week. I've been really pounding the ball to get Noah Gray more involved in the offense. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me why, given how down they are in the wide receiver room, why don't you emphasize what you do have? And what they do have is a bunch of tight ends. What's the point of having four of these tight ends? A, you don't run the ball enough to really justify that they're blocking tight ends, and you're not using them in pass catching situations. So I want to see them lean in more to their tight end numbers. Noah Gray's not available, at least not on FanDuel. Maybe he is on another gambling app. I'm going to go with Tyquan Thornton. I think Tyquan Thornton can be a factor in this game. I think he can do sort of what Juju did last week. Five catches, 55 yards, somewhere in that ballpark, somewhere in that range. So I would put my money on Tyquan Thornton if you asked me to put it on somebody. Let me play a couple of pieces of audio for you guys and get you a little bit of a national perspective. Here is both the offensive and defensive side of it is Mina Kimes of ESPN. She is in the kingdom. She is worried about the Chiefs' defense.
I'm going to talk about the Chiefs, but not the offense, because I think the offense will be better when they get Rice back in particular, and the offensive line is young and they're going to play together. The defense was really concerning to me week one, and I kind of think that maybe got slept on a little bit, you know, with Justin Reed departing. There's this feeling it's the Chiefs, Steve Spagnuolo. They can insert any young cornerbacks back there and safeties, and everything's going to be fine. It did not look fine week one against the Chargers. Not enough pass rush, so they had to blitz, but then they couldn't cover behind the blitz. And you really worry this week. You know, you're going up against the Eagles, and I just don't know if they have the horses on the back end to compete the way that they have the last few years.
That was Mina Kimes of ESPN talking about the Chiefs' defense. One thing that I'm not really used to, at least when it's hearing commentary about the Chiefs, is not really feel like they have enough of something. Like, I feel that way on offense, man. I think all of us feel that way on offense, but that's largely due to injury or suspension. Now, some of it is just they didn't really try hard enough at running back. That's another topic for another day. But then to hear her say that she doesn't think that they have the horses on the back half of the secondary. One thing that I would say that Chiefs fans hold very, very dearly is, well, we don't need to spend money on corner because they always find diamonds in the rough, because Spags can scheme up pressure, because Spags can get after the other team's quarterback. That's kind of what they need to do in this one. Like, this has to be an X's and O's thing. I don't think they have the Jimmys and the Joes not up against Philadelphia's pass-catching options. I just don't, like, look at who they have, look at who the Chiefs have. Like, this needs to be Spags dialing up, being creative, knowing when to attack, knowing when to kind of fall back a little bit. Like, that has to be the plan on defense going up against Philadelphia. It just has to be. But it is very odd. Like, you usually don't hear the commentary around the Chiefs says, oh, they don't have good enough players. People are saying that about the offense, and they're saying it about the defense. Here is Dan Orlowski. A lot of you are frustrated with Matt Nagy. It sounds like Dan Orlowski has some questions about the Chiefs offense.
Unless this offense changes schematically,
okay,
it cannot get back to the Super Bowl. Mm. It just doesn't do anything that the good offenses in this league do right now. If we took Patrick out and Patrick made three or four plays and throws that, you're like, oh my goodness, but that's it right now. Mm. And we've harped on this for years. One, they don't go underneath center and throw the football down the field enough. Mm. And when they do try and do it, they're unsuccessful doing it. Now, Andy Reid, one of the greatest coaches of all time, Matt Nagy, yes, a very bright offensive mind. If there's two coaches who can fix it, it's them.
Yep.
And so I'm not telling everybody right now that this is the concern. I'm telling everybody in Kansas City and your fans, if this doesn't change, you will look back in November and December and be like, why aren't we winning? And I'll tell you, this will be the reason why, okay? Like, this is the foreshadowing. If this doesn't change, if you don't go downfield more, if you don't get under center more, if you don't build play action more, if when you do, you don't hit those shots downfield, this will be the reason why. And we can come back to this episode of NFL Live and realize what the problem was.
That was Dan Orlowski talking about the Chiefs offense. I mean, you guys know my philosophy on this. I don't think the Chiefs just have nearly enough firepower. I understand the frustrations with Matt Nagy, and all of a sudden, I remember so much frustration and disappointment with Eric Bieniemy, and it was kind of time to go. And now we long for the days when Eric Bieniemy was in charge. The Chiefs just had a much better offense when he was there. Like, they just had better skill position players. They had prime Tyreek Hill and prime Travis Kelce. A lot of offensive coordinators are going to look good if you're drawing up plays with Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill back in 2018. That's just not the offense that they currently have in 2025. But I do understand some of the things that he is saying about the scheme and what they need to do in terms of just putting more pressure on defenses. I thought it was pretty noticeable last week in week one how on a couple of their touchdown drives, I mean, it is just death by a thousand cuts. The Chiefs got to put together 13, 14 play drives, which then you commit a penalty, then you have a missed block, you have a missed assignment. It just makes it really, really hard to score that way against really good teams and really good defenses. And I thought that was one of the problems for the Chiefs last week. All right, Rob, since you are our running back expert, you are our running back guru, have you seen the Chiefs running back numbers?
I have not seen the numbers. I imagine they're startlingly low.
Okay.
Just a hunch. Just plain a hunch.
What do you think Isaiah Pacheco's over, under, and rush total is?
So this is carries.
No, I'm talking yardage.
Okay.
From a yardage perspective, what do you think that FanDuel has Isaiah Pacheco at right now over under how many yards?
48 and a half.
33 and a half for Isaiah Pacheco.
Oh, my.
That's RB1. There's no team in the league in which their RB1's over under total is that low. 33 and a half? That's not, to me, a indictment on how good you think Philadelphia's defense is. That isn't a, we don't think that he's getting the football. 33 and a half? All right, now based with this information, now armed with this info, what do you think they have his over-under on for carries?
Okay.
So they have his over-under at 33 and a half yards. If you were wondering, they have Kareem Hunt's at 22 and a half. So Vegas thinks if you add up the rushing numbers from Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt, they think it's around 56 yards rushing from those two. I'm here to tell you right now, if the Chiefs get 56 yards combined from Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt, you can start heading toward the exit around the middle of the third quarter. The Chiefs are not winning that football game. You're not winning the football game if you get nothing from your running game. You don't got to run it for 150 yards. You can't get nothing from them two. 56 yards between both of them is getting pretty clearly next to nothing. What do you think they have Isaiah Pacheco's carry total at? Over under how many carries?
8.5?
7.5.
Uh-huh. I was thinking 4 yards per carry, just ballparking it. Like
7.5 carries for RB1.
Vegas saw the same first game me and you did. That's what that told me.
Isaiah Pacheco has 8 carries in the last two Chiefs games. 8 total. Now, I know some of you guys have your issues with Pacheco. He doesn't have the same vision as Kareem Hunt. Maybe he's not explosive. I get it. This is not sustainable for any offense in the league for you to have such low expectations on what RB1 can do. I know we have this belief that running back isn't nearly as important and that it's a dime a dozen and that anybody can do it and you can plug and play. Well, then you need to plug and play somebody in that can give you something in the run game. The Chiefs probably need in this game, they need 14 carries for 71 yards. That's what you need. You need 14 carries for 71 yards and a touchdown. I mean, that's not going to win you a fantasy league, but it keeps the defense honest. A major reason why the Chiefs offense has stalled in their last two games is either they don't want to run or they can't run the football. Because to give your number one running back 8 carries in your last two games, you're not trying to establish the run. You can't get anything going on so few carries. What are you hoping that you break the first one or two? And then if you don't, you've given up on the run. You're going to have to establish the line of scrimmage on the offensive side of the ball. You have to get Isaiah Pacheco involved in some capacity. You got to use Kareem Hunt on a 3rd and 3 and hope that he can extend the drive and move the chains. They have to be in the center of whatever your game plan is. You got to have some level of commitment in trying to get them the football.
So I looked this up because someone in the text line asked this. Hey, what are some other bad teams' numbers the running game? Let's compare for fun. So I've looked it up. Now, I don't know why, but FanDuel has not listed any running back for the Browns on Sunday. They don't have any over-under for Browns running backs. Is that because Quinshon Jenkins might be bad? I don't know why they have no Browns. But name some other bad teams in the league, and I promise their running back one number is better than Isaiah Pacheco. All of them. Just for comparison's sake, Trey Benson, who is running back 2 in Arizona, he's a backup to James Conner. Fantasy sports owners probably know him. They have him at 36.5 for an over-under. They have Lamar Jackson at quarterback at 46.5 for an over-under. Tyrone Tracy for the Giants. That team stinks. 54.5. So not only are those numbers extremely startling, low, and really damning about the Chiefs offense, but when you put them in perspective of how Vegas views the rest of the league and what their running back one is going to do, they think the Chiefs just don't have a running back one, because 33.5 is less than they're saying Lamar Jackson will do on Sunday. And I know he's running quarterback. Running quarterbacks usually don't run for 60-plus yards the way running backs do. It's crazy how low those numbers are.
Yeah, the Chiefs just have to establish the run. They have to run the football. Like, it might be redundant. You might be tired. You might consider it to be a broken record. I'm telling you, if the Chiefs' offensive plan is between Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt, they get 9 carries, and they want Pat to throw it 42 times to Juju Smith-Schuster, Tyquan Thornton, and Jason Brownlee, I don't know how you think that is a winning game plan going up against the opponent that they are going up against. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, we are going to be joined by Nate Taylor of ESPN. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I need you guys' help with this topic. 913-586-7965. Probably about a month ago, I asked you guys to rank the teams in the order and what you don't like. Cincinnati, Buffalo, Philadelphia. You guys remember this exercise. At least some of you do. I'm going to flip the question just a bit. How would you guys rank the people in the National Football League that you don't like? Because it is my hypothesis, I think that Nick Sirianni is number one. I think if you go around and you ask 100 Chiefs fans, 1,000 Chiefs fans, you say it has to be an active player or coach who is your least favorite person in the National Football League, I think Nick Sirianni would be number one on you guys' list. This is how I perceive it to be. So again, tell me if I'm wrong. 913-586-7965. I think Nick Sirianni is one. Joe Burrow is 2. Jamar Chase is 3. You guys don't like Jamar Chase because he won't even say Patrick Mahomes' name. Like, he kind of goes out of his way, I think, to poke at you guys. I mean, I kind of get it. It makes sense to me why you don't like him. How would you guys rank it? Just your least favorite people in the National Football League. I think Nick Sirianni's number one. I get why you guys don't like him. That image of him walking off the field and yelling at Chiefs fans after a regular season game is just corny. I think he's the only coach in the league that would do that. I don't think there's a single... Could you see Harbaugh, either one of them, walking off the field arguing with fans? That's silly. That's... No. I can't see it. That's how I would rank it. How would you guys rank it? I'll read these texts in a bit. Rob, what do you think? What do you think Chiefs fans would say to this question? Someone mentioned Max Crosby. That's a good one. Crosby's certainly in the mix. I think Crosby, like, wants to be a villain, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think Max Crosby wants you guys to like him. So maybe that's why he'd be high on this list. I mean, the Patrick Mahomes going back and forth, you picked the wrong person. I mean, that is directed at Max Crosby. So, no, Crosby's a good one. That's why I wanted to ask you guys. I wanted to know.
If you ask me to go 1, 2, 3, I don't think Crosby's in the top 3. I think Burrow is 1. I think Chase is two, and I think Sirianni is three. Because and maybe I'm off base here. As much as the Eagles walloped the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and right now I'm watching our friends on First Things First on Fox, and they're showing highlights of both Super Bowls, I don't think Chiefs fans hate Jalen Hurts. I don't think they hate A.J. Brown. I don't think they hate anyone on that defense. I don't think they hate Devontae Smith, Saquon Barkley. I don't think they have a hate for any of the Eagles players, but I think they hate Sirianni. And Burrow and Chase, I mean, we know why they hate them, but I think that's the three. I think it's Sirianni is three, Chase is two, and I don't think anyone's hate is Joe Burrow. And we could do a Joe Burrow is a good football player topic, the most generic radio topic of all time. The text line would fill with how much they hate him real quick.
Someone said, what about Deshaun Watson? Are we sure that he's still in the league?
That's on everyone's list. I don't think there's a fan base, Cleveland included, that's like, man, you know who I love? Deshaun Watson. No one likes that guy.
I'm just asking. I didn't know. I was simply asking. I didn't know. I wanted to know if that was the case. I wasn't sure.
I'm seeing a surprising amount of Josh Allen on the text line. Do fans really hate Josh Allen?
Yeah, I don't think they like Josh Allen. I think the dislike of Josh Allen is much more of a people think he's better than our guy. Like, he's never done anything for you to dislike him. He's never been in any trouble. He doesn't say anything. I don't even know what Josh Allen sounds like.
All he does is, I mean, he loses to Mahomes in the playoffs.
No, he does do that. He absolutely does do that.
He loses, he's nothing but respectful to the Chiefs. It's not like he loses the Chiefs and goes, God, we should have got them. They stink. He's always like, they were the better team today. What are you going to do? Like, other than he's another good quarterback, I don't get how you could hate Josh Allen. Maybe he wins one of these games, but he hasn't ever.
Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, why are you saying you guys are you not a Chiefs fan? I don't know why we do this at the beginning of every season. You guys know this. The only team that I cheer for is Missouri. It's the only team I cheer for. The rest of the teams, I mean, if they win or lose, I mean, I'll be all right. Like, if the Chiefs lose on Sunday, I mean, I want them to win. It's definitely better for us if they win, but I'm asleep just fine. Let Missouri lose to Louisiana on Saturday. I will not sleep very well this weekend at all. I will not have a very fun weekend. No part of my weekend will be very fun if that happens. So, no, the only team that I cheer for is Missouri basketball and football. Everybody else, no. There's a lot of teams I don't like, but cheer for, no. I only cheer for one team.
God, if Missouri lost to Louisiana, we wouldn't even leave with Chiefs Eagles. I don't care. If they lost to Louisiana at home, 100%, that's the lead.
We haven't really talked about it, but I am actually going to the Crawford-Canelo fight. I'm flying out after the show today. I'm really excited to go. I don't think I would go to the fight if they lost to Louisiana. I'm serious. I don't know if I have the capacity. I don't know if I could go to the fight if Missouri lost to Louisiana. I don't know if I could do it. You think I'm joking? I'm 100% serious. No, I'm good. I'm all right. I don't want to go.
I know you're 100% serious.
I'll just watch it on TV. I'll watch it. Like, no, I don't.
I know all the work you did to get ready to go to that fight. I know all the work you've done.
I've been thrilled to go to the fight, but no. If
I've seen all the behind the scenes, so I can't imagine you sitting in your hotel room being like, screw that. Louisiana got Mizzou today.
I'm telling you, I don't know if you've been to Allegiant or not, but for those of you that have been to Allegiant, there's no way that I'm going to make the trek to go to Allegiant Stadium after a Missouri loss to Louisiana. There's no way. There's a 0% chance that is how I'm spending my Saturday evening. No, thank you. Rob, you are actually very excited. Your number one sporting event this weekend actually happens tonight. It is Kansas State and Arizona. You are picking the Wildcats to lose, the Wildcats from Manhattan, not the ones from Tucson. You think Kansas State's losing today. I actually put a wager. I can show you. I bet real American currency. I think having Dylan Edwards back is turning that team around. I think K-State's going on the road and winning. You know what? This is just going to be a bet and a hope in Chris Klieman. That's what I'm doing. I'm betting on Chris Klieman in this one that I don't think K-State is nearly as bad as we've talked about them the last couple of weeks. I think that Klieman turned this thing around. I got them winning today.
I don't have them winning. And listen, as much as it's a KU and K-State are rivals and the whole deal, I love Chris Klieman. I got a lot of respect for Chris Klieman. He's great to this show. I think he's a good coach. All the things. I don't know they are heading out to the desert after what I've seen in the first 3 weeks and winning a game on the road at Arizona. Like, it's more than just the loss to Army. Carrington, they needed a last-second drive by Avery Johnson to pull it out of the fire against North Dakota. And not North Dakota State, the team that perpetually wins FCS championships. North Dakota. It's weird to say about K-State, the model of consistency, and it's, you know, week 4 in college football. I guess week 3, but K-State's playing their fourth game. Man, it feels a little must-win-ish for the Cats tonight. If you go on the road,
there's no question it's a must-win game. Like that's not debatable. If you fall to 1-3 and we're not even at the difficult part of your schedule, yes, them missing a bowl game is very much a topic, very much a concern if they lose this. So this ain't a, it'd be nice to have. No, this is a must-win. K-State needs to play well. They need to get themselves out of the rut. And that's why I'm saying is this is a vote of confidence in Chris Klieman. I think that Chris Klieman is far too good of a coach. I think he is far too skilled of a coach. I still think this team has too much. They're not a 1-3 football team. I don't think they go out and I don't think they light the world on fire today. I do think the K-State turns things around and they get closer to being the team that we thought they were going to be. The message is still simple. K-State has not done anything that eliminates them from all of their preseason goals. They can still make the college football playoff. You can't win it if you lose to Arizona and you start 0-2 in the Big 12. You can pack this thing up. You can pack it up. I'm serious. You're cooked if you lose this game. No, I'm taking the Wildcats. I'm taking the Wildcats from Manhattan. Coming up in about 30 minutes, Nate Taylor of ESPN is going to join the show. We'll get you back to Chiefs Week 2 against the Eagles. Keep it right here. It's the Drive.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.